TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
So I see an enormous amount of very positive things about our team.
Show of hands.
Show of hands.
It's Show of Hands.
Yes, it is. Welcome in another edition, Show of Hands. Danny Cunningham and Manny Hill today. We're going to be diving into the president of basketball operations search going on in Minneapolis right now with the Wolves. And that's obviously something we've been doing for the past couple of weeks here, but things are really starting to heat up with that. There are going to be four candidates this week that will be meeting with the Wolves. The Star Tribune has reported that the process is expected to take the next 7 to 10 days. The four candidates that will be getting interviewed are Trajan Langdon, who is currently the Brooklyn Nets assistant GM. And that's the name that I think is probably the most enticing of the ones left. Yeah. I know Michael Winger, his name was thrown out there, but he's since removed himself, and that was a disappointment. Chauncey Billups is another name. I'm not sure how I would feel about him.
I have very mixed feelings on Chauncey because I like Chauncey, and But I also don't want to blind myself with just liking Chauncey and enjoying him on the air and thinking, oh, yeah, it'd be cool to see him run the Wolves. Like, there's no experience there. I think Chauncey's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. But with the way this team is set up right now long term, it's like I think it's a huge, huge risk to bring in somebody that doesn't have any front office experience.
Jerison Rosas from Houston is one of the other candidates, and then Calvin Booth, who's currently the assistant general manager in Denver, is the fourth and final candidate that will be talked to by the Wolves this week for that opening. I think the most interesting name on that list is Langdon, because mm-hmm. I think that the way that the Nets have built is the most interesting of the ways, and I also think that what Houston has done is also very interesting, but they've got star power too.
Right.
I think that the Nets have been probably the most creative in building their team in terms of teams that have had success lately, because they haven't had the luxury of having first-round draft picks. They've had first-round draft picks, but they've had to be creative in how they got them. Like, D'Angelo Russell was a lottery pick by the Lakers that they got in exchange to take on a monster of a contract in Timofey Mozgov.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Allen was a first-round pick, but they had to make a trade to get that pick. They had to trade away a first-round pick also as part of that D'Angelo Russell trade. That was Kyle Kuzma that they picked and traded for D'Angelo Russell. Caris LeVert was a first-round pick that they had to trade Thaddeus Young for. So they've mm-hmm. had to be creative in how they've gotten these young guys. I also think, and not necessarily that aspect of it is what I think can relate, but I think that the way they've developed guys like Joe Harris and Spencer Dinwiddie is very relatable. And not saying that those guys are absolute stars, but Joe Harris was a guy that was out of the league when they signed him. He was drafted by the Cavs in 2014. He was drafted by the Cavs, spent a year and a half there. He was traded to Orlando as part of the Channing Frye to Cleveland deal in January of 2016.
Did he get a ring then for being a part of the Cavs that year?
I'm not sure if he got a ring. They never had a ceremony for him, but he might have been given a ring.
Sure.
But like, he was a member of that team for half of the year.
Yeah.
So he broke his foot and had to have foot surgery. He had foot surgery the day he was traded. And then he was traded by the Cavs to Orlando, and Orlando just immediately waived him. He never reported to the Magic. So he was out of the league. Like, it was his second year, and he didn't have a team. The Nets took a flyer on him in free agency, and this year he led the league in three-point percentage.
It's amazing.
Moves like that. Spencer Dinwiddie also was out of the league. He was drafted by Detroit, didn't work out there, was traded to Chicago. Chicago cut him. Chicago then signed him. And then Chicago cut him again. So he was cut by the Bulls twice without ever playing a game for them. The Nets signed him in December of 2016, and now he's turned into a terrific sixth man. Caris LeVert's the one guy that I also brought up, and the reason he was available at 20 on that draft night trade with the Pacers is because he had foot problems at Michigan.
Yeah.
He was a guy that was supposed to be a much higher draft pick, but he got hurt all the time in college. It's taking risks like those, and they've panned out for Brooklyn. That's what really entices me, because the Wolves are going to have to be creative in how they're going to build this team around Karl-Anthony Towns, because they don't have the money.
They don't have the money. They don't have the cap flexibility. They don't have – they can't really afford to part ways with too many assets just to get rid of Andrew Wiggins. As much as people want to get rid of Andrew Wiggins, and I totally get it, and you know where I'm at with Andrew Wiggins, and we share the same opinion.
Everyone knows where you're at with Andrew Wiggins, man.
But they can't, as much as we may want to get rid of that contract, it's going to cost an asset to get rid of that contract, mm-hmm. and they don't. They need assets right now because they can't just go out and sign people in free agency. So they are going to need somebody that's going to come in and make shrewd moves that may not look like much on the surface but turn out to work out in their favor.
That's why I don't want to bring up the D'Angelo Russell deal too much, because the Nets were in the position to be able to do that because they could take on so much bad money. The Wolves already mm-hmm. have too much bad money.
Right.
They can't. They're not in the position to make that kind of trade. They're, if anything, they're on the other end of that kind of trade at mm-hmm. this point. But the Joe Harris situation, why can't that be Cam Reynolds? Why can't and that's not to say Cam Reynolds is going to turn into a 3-point champion and shoot 47% like Joe Harris did, but why can't Cam Reynolds, a guy that was not in the league, turn into a player like Joe Harris that can be a serviceable wing and can knock down threes and shoot above 40%. Why can't you develop guys into that? That's why I'm really interested in talking with the guys from Brooklyn. And part of it is they've got a Spurs background. Langdon was a scout for the Spurs for 4 years prior to taking the job in Brooklyn. Sean Marks, who is the GM in Brooklyn, was an assistant coach there. Now, the thing that also worries me about that, when those guys were in San Antonio, you know who the assistant GM in San Antonio was.
Scott Layden.
It was Scott Layden. So I'm curious if Langdon is the guy they bring in to be the president, if that really improves the chance that Scott Layden stays on.
And it would make me wonder what type of relationship that they had in San Antonio. Were they in lockstep with each other? Did they, you know, bounce ideas off of each other?
And
you know, I'd be curious about that.
It is a very difficult thing to do, to evaluate how scouts and executives work, because we always don't know where the credit belongs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's really difficult about that. But I think that Langdon probably deserves some of this credit for Brooklyn's turnaround. And I mean, Sean Marks deserves a lot of it too, but to say that he didn't have a part in it, I think is foolish. And you don't know who he discovered it while working for the Spurs too.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I don't, I think at this point, if you're a Wolves fan, whoever this ends up being, it just needs to be the right person.
Yes.
It needs to be the right person. And we've talked about this for weeks, but it is imperative that the Wolves get this right.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot mess this up.
No.
Otherwise, you are looking at another 7, 8, 9 years of not being in the playoffs. You got Karl-Anthony Towns probably wanting his way out. And who knows, ownership-wise, you know, if Glenn Taylor sells the team to somebody down the line, I mean, that's a lot to unpack there in the next, you know, handful of years. But one way or another, this team has to get it right. And if it's Trajan Langdon, great. If it's Calvin Booth, another name that kind of intrigues me because of the team that he's with now and has been for the last year and a half,
mm-hmm.
great. But whoever the hell it ends up being, they have to get it right.
So I was asked this question on Score North the other day. You were enjoying some much-deserved time off celebrating your birthday because you're old.
And 35 is old, yes.
And you're 35. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
That's so old. You're 10 years older than me. You're so old.
I know.
So I was asked this. What does the team look like in Minnesota the next time the Wolves are 3 seed or higher in the West?
I heard you talking about this, actually. I was actually listening.
And I'm not pop. Why were you listening on your time off?
I was driving home. I was at the Twins game Thursday on my birthday, and I was driving home, and I was listening to you guys.
I don't know that Karl-Anthony Towns is part of that. I don't know that Carl is here the next time this team is that good. They can absolutely be a 6, 7, 8 seed again in the West. No mm-hmm. question in my mind that they can. They could reach that as soon as next year, but I don't know that they've got the ability to jump all the way up to number 3 seed. I don't know that that ever happens in Carl's tenure with the Wolves. And I'm curious at what point you're wasting his time.
Do you think in like possibly thinking about moving him?
Not
regardless
right now.
Of where you're at? Like,
not
no,
right
no,
now.
I don't mean now, but like in 3 years from now, you're envisioning them having to move him, if they're stuck in that sort of lower half of the playoff picture, if they're stuck between
we'll say 6 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
So because the West can be that all bunched up right there. So we'll say between 6 and 11. Some years they make it, some years they don't, but they're never advancing past the first round. At what point do you think about moving on? I think that that's a question that
even if he doesn't want to move on.
Yes.
Sure.
I think that that's a question. If you are the if you are one of these guys interviewing with the Wolves, that's a question you have to ask whoever's interviewing you.
Are you willing to do that? Yeah. No, I it's a scary thought. If you're a Wolves fan, that's it's a scary thought, but I totally get it, man. And you just wonder with all of these contracts that are weighing this team down. Because see, I'm having visions of basically 99 to 2006 ish with Kevin Garnett. Mm-hmm. They were going to the playoffs every year. Now you mixed in a trip to the Western Conference Finals that year.
I don't think that happens though.
Right. That's the thing is like I'm worried about seeing that mm-hmm. if we're just gonna see this team get stuck in. Going to the playoffs every year, but they're, you know, a 6, 7, 8 seed all the time, and they got no shot of beating who they're playing in the first round. They're getting bounced every year. But I'm not even sure that we could see that right now with the way this team is set up right now, financially.
It's hard to envision it because they can't – they have to be more creative than they can just make normal moves that everyone thinks of because you have to find a way that's going to put you over the edge, and there's no clear path to that right now. That's why whoever comes in has to be a very creative and very savvy person. That's why I think Langdon's experience, not only in Brooklyn but San Antonio too, really entices me. I think right now he's probably my number one candidate, and mm-hmm. that prior to this weekend he wasn't because it was Michael Winger, but yeah. Obviously he's pulled his name out. I think that Langdon is my top choice for this job right now just because of those experiences. I think Rosas would be good. I'm not sold on Calvin Booth, and I'm really not sold on Chauncey Billups. But I'm very enticed by Langdon's history. Very enticed by it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is, you know, I've been thinking about your idea of moving Wiggins to Miami because I heard you talking about that last week.
Yes.
And I wonder, would you have to attach a first-round pick to make that move? Or would you be able to get like a Kelly Olynyk and Deion Waiters straight up for Wiggins?
That's what the package would have to be coming back essentially to make mm-hmm. the money work.
Do you think they would have to attach like a first round pick to that?
I'm not positive. I don't know because Miami is the one franchise I think that has a big enough ego to think that they can fix him.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they're not going to turn down a first round pick. I think you could probably lottery protect it, but one probably has to go out. And I'm not even positive Miami does it, but I think that's a team to watch that would maybe be interested in doing it.
And if you are going to make a deal for Wiggins this summer or make a deal involving Wiggins this summer, that's probably the best type of return that you can expect.
In part because it splits up the money.
Mm-hmm.
In part because you go from having one guy for whatever Andrew Wiggins is making a year to two guys making half of it each. So
thus
those
making
guys,
them easier to move
exactly,
down the line. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Like I just was watching playoff basketball this past weekend, and I told you this before we started recording this. It just made me, like, I enjoyed all the playoff basketball that I watched, but sure. It just made me mad.
Yeah.
Because it's like the Wolves with Kat, like, Kat should be on this stage. He should be getting an opportunity to perform on the stage. And he performed last year, and we saw him in the playoffs, and he didn't play very well.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I want to see him back in the playoffs, because I want him to get an opportunity to sort of redeem himself. Because people were crapping on him after the playoff series with the Rockets last year, and rightfully so, because he deserved it. He did not play well last year in the playoffs. But just seeing, like, Portland, and the Wolves have made a lot of mistakes, front office, trades, draft picks, all of that stuff. But I look at a team like Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They had a franchise player. His knees just crapped out on him.
Yes.
Brandon Roy. He had to retire. And because his knees, he just couldn't play anymore, basically.
Yeah.
Then they drafted Greg Oden.
Not a great pick.
Enough said. Then LaMarcus Aldridge leaves. Like, so you've got two franchise players and a number one overall pick that was a bust over the course of the last decade and a half. Yet here they are with, you know, two really good backcourt players, and they're in the playoffs every year. Now, they haven't won a championship, and people can hold that over their head that maybe if they would have taken Kevin Durant in 07, maybe they would have won a title. I don't know.
We can speculate on that. They haven't experienced a ton of playoff success either.
Right. But they've been in the playoffs every year despite having three high draft picks / franchise players basically not be a factor for them long term.
Yeah.
So, and here they are. And it's like, I see that, and it's like, at some point, the Wolves just have to get this going. They have to get this going. They have to start putting together a couple of moves that can get them at the very least into the position that Portland is in. And then, you know, you make a couple other moves, and then maybe you can, you know, get over the hump. But it just, it really, and I love Dame and CJ. They're like two of my favorite players in the league. But it just really annoyed the hell out of me, just like watching them in the playoffs and watching them demolish Oklahoma City. And it's like, if a team like that can suffers catastrophic injuries or bad draft picks or players leaving in free agency, like, how bad has this gotten for the Wolves?
They're not in a great place. I mean, it's tough because the money, so they've tied up too much money in guys that are just not worth it, and it's hard to overcome that because what you've named about Portland is entirely true, and you even left out a torn Achilles that really impacted them too. I mean, if you think back to, I think that was the 2015 season, it was Marcus Aldridge's last year in Portland. Wes Matthews tore his Achilles, right?
That's right.
He tore his Achilles like halfway through that season, and that really changed because they were, I mean, not fighting with the Warriors for the one seed, but they were going to finish. They were going to be a problem in the playoffs, and then that happened, and they just were never the same team. But they haven't put bad money, they haven't had bad money the way the Wolves do. Because the Wolves haven't really been impacted by injuries a whole ton. Yes, I mean, Jimmy Butler got hurt last year, and that changed the outlook of that season. But this year, they had some guys injured, but not key guys.
I guess you could look at, like, Rubio tearing his ACL in 2012. Like, they were probably going to make the playoffs that year. But
what was that team going to do? That team going to actually do?
They're
going to
get beat in the first round.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not what you should be striving for. Yes. If you're a young team, making the playoffs has value. But to make the playoffs over and over and over again and lose in the first round, what good does that do you? Like, how would you like to be Indiana right now? Indiana's got a good core. They've got a good culture. But they've been knocked out in the first round of the playoffs three straight years. Do you want to be that? Or would you rather bottom out?
I would rather bottom out. But I would rather be in Indiana's position than where the position that the Wolves are in right now.
I would too, because they're good and they're in the East, and I think that matters too. And they've got a capable wing when Victor Oladipo's healthy. But that being said, they've got a lot of free agents on that team. That team's not going to look the same next year.
Yeah. You're right. No, I get it. But I think for me, as somebody who's watched this team for a number of years and sees them making bad move after bad move after bad move and not making the playoffs, I mean, it's hard to put together a championship team, but in some ways it's also very, very hard to miss the playoffs 14 times out of 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Very hard.
It's very hard to do it to the point where only one team basically in the NBA has done it, and that's the team that we talk about on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that's them.
And I'm just tired of it, that's all.
So I give you my most interesting name for the opening right now. Who's yours?
Well, Calvin Booth is the one that I've been thinking about just because I like the way that the Nuggets have constructed their roster in that they've done a really good job of developing players. Their best player is a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. They've got other guys. They don't really have, I mean, Jamal Murray was a lottery pick, but who else, key players on that team, were lottery picks?
I don't know.
I mean, Gary Harris was mid to late first round. Gary Harris was, what, 20th pick? 19th pick? Will Barton? Will Barton was a first-round pick, right? But he was later first round.
Gary Harris was 19th to Chicago in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Will Barton's been there a while, though, too.
Yeah.
Will Barton, he was a second-round pick. He was a 40th overall pick.
Yeah. I mean, that's, to me, it's like, and to your point about Trajan Langdon, too, those are the type of guys that they have to bring in. That's the type of person that they have to find is somebody who's been a part of a team that has experience in finding diamonds in the rough.
Like finding a Malik Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
Like Denver, I mean, he was a 19th overall pick, didn't do much his first 2 years, averaged under 10 minutes a game for the Nuggets. And now he's averaging double figures and playing almost 25 minutes.
And that's
you need to find a guy like that. Now, could that be Josh Okogie? Absolutely.
Sure.
But you need more of them.
Yeah. It'd be nice if Cam Reynolds turned into that. I'm not holding my breath. I like Cam Reynolds, but it would be nice. It would help them tremendously if Cam Reynolds turns into a regular solid rotation guy that you can have get significant minutes on a team that makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what you have to hope for.
And player development matters so much, and we've had this conversation when talking about Denver a lot on this podcast and on Rays of Wolves. But that's where the Wolves need to be really good. And mm-hmm. I do think that John Lucas
III. It's where they have failed miserably.
John Lucas III, it was his first year with the Wolves this year. I think he did a solid job. I think mm-hmm. that you could see improvements in Josh Okogie. You could see improvements in Kata Bates-Diop. Cam Reynolds looked like an NBA player. So I think that helps. But you have to hope that he can keep that up because his job is one that's really overlooked by a lot of fans. But it could be vital in terms of how successful the Wolves are for the next 5-6 years. Absolutely vital. And we don't know if he'll be back. I mean, there still could be a coaching change. Like, Ryan Saunders is not a lock to get this job. I think it's likely he gets it, but he's not a lock. And if he's... And I do know that John Lucas is liked in that organization. But we don't know that he'll be back. If he's not back, you better have an ace player development guy. You better have an awesome one. That's a huge part of the reason. I attribute a lot of the reason the Cavs won the title in 2016 to their player development guy, Phil Handy. Phil mm-hmm. Handy is now in Toronto. They've had a pretty good rise in a star this year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
not bad. And granted, they've had more. There are more than just one player development guys, but look at what Pascal Siakam has been able to do this year, and Phil Handy works with them. Like, that's part of it. Phil Handy, Kyrie Irving attributes a lot of his success to Phil Handy developing him in his younger days as a Cav. That's a big deal. You need a guy like that to help develop your... And maybe John Lucas is that guy, and that'd be mm-hmm. awesome for the Wolves. But you need to be able to develop these players. Whoever you get at, wherever you pick, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 11, 12, 13 in the draft, you need to get a more than just a quality player. You need to almost hit a home run with that pick. And then when you have... I think they have the number 44 selection as well. I know it's Miami's pick. I'm not sure where it's at. I know it's in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
It's Miami's pick. They need to have it's 43. Mm-hmm. If they can get another serviceable player there, even a rotation guy, and develop him, that would be huge. Look at other guys that have been Jokic was 41. Look at guys that are drafted there. And you don't need a good star, but you need someone that can play. You need to keep finding those guys.
If you're Glenn Taylor and you sit down with Trajan Langdon or Calvin Booth or Chauncey Billups, whoever they're sitting down with, what's the first thing you ask of them?
The first question I ask those guys?
Mm-hmm.
How's your day? No. I think that the first question you ask is, what's the most basic part of your plan to get us out of this hole? Because they're in a hole financially, and I think that that's where you have to start the conversation. I think that, and I wrote about this last week on Score North, I think that more importantly than the questions that the Wolves will be asking the candidates are the questions that the candidates ask the Wolves.
That was going to be my next question is, if you're one of those guys, what do you ask Glenn Taylor?
I think that you have a list of questions, and I wrote these out. I wrote them on Score North. If you haven't seen that, go and look at that on scorenorth.com, but there are a lot of things that they should be asking. Like, what does the chain of communication look like? How involved is Glenn Taylor going to be in this process? Because there are some very good owners that are very hands-off in the NBA, and then there's some bad owners that are very hands-on and want to have input in basketball decisions, even though they don't have the basketball pedigree to do so. And you cannot be a successful organization when you're doing that unless the best basketball player in the world grew up 45 minutes from your house, from where you play.
Dan Gilbert.
That's the one I was hinting at. Does the president get to pick the GM and the coach? Because I think that that matters. And I think it actually matters less about the coach than it does the GM. Because the coach, I do think Ryan Saunders is qualified, which is part of the reason why I think that matters less. But I also think that if you're the president of basketball operations, your number two, you have to be able to pick your number two. You have to be able to pick your general manager, because the guy, if you do not agree with the guy that you are working side by side with on a daily basis,
then what are
that
we doing
arranged
here?
Marriage is destined to fail.
What are we
miserably.
Doing here?
Exactly. I think that's an important question. I think another important question is, when do we look at moving Andrew Wiggins?
That would be my first question.
That's not my first, because I think that there are more important things. I think you can still be successful with Wiggins on the roster. I don't think that that ship has totally sailed. I think that it is not docked.
It's getting there.
But it's not out on the open sea. It's like, it's kind of in a no-wake zone right now. Like, it can still come back real easy, but it's inching further and further out to open waters. And then I think you have to ask, what happens if this doesn't work out, like this group of players? Because you are still going to be feeling the mistakes of the Thibodeau era, at least this year, if not next year too. And that's through no fault of whoever you hire.
Right.
That person is not at fault for the mistakes that Tibbs and Layden both made, which is why I think Layden needs to go. Not because I think that he's not cut out for the job or that he's terrible or any of those things. I think that you just need to cut all ties with that era of basketball. You need to cut ties with that. The Thibodeau era needs to just be over and done with. And you can't do that with Scott Layden in the building. I think that you need to ask, what if this doesn't work? What are we looking like in 3 years where we're still stuck in mud? Do then we look at trading Karl-Anthony Towns? Is that something you'd be open to? Because you don't know that. And I think another question you do have to ask Glenn Taylor is, how much longer are you going to own the team? Because Taylor is getting up there in age. That's whether you like it or not.
It's late 70s, I think.
It's a question worth asking.
Absolutely.
And he might say, you know, I've got plan. He might not have a plan. He might not have an answer, which is fine, but it's a question that you need to ask, I think. What questions would you have?
Everything that you've said, pretty much. But, I mean, I think to piggyback off of what you said, though, is especially with the what if this doesn't work, if 3 years from now Karl-Anthony Towns requests a trade, is my job now suddenly on the line
Because of people that have screwed up before me?
Right. Because this is a deep mess that that's going to take a lot longer for us to get out of than we initially planned and hoped. So if Karl-Anthony Towns comes up in 2022 and says, I want out because we're not winning enough, we're not successful enough, is my job now on the line because we haven't been successful enough and the franchise player wants out? Am I going to be able to move him and try and get a good enough package in return to start yet another rebuild for this franchise? And are you going to allow me to be around to see that rebuild out?
There are very few players the caliber of Karl-Anthony Towns in the NBA. I think we can both agree with that, right? There are even fewer players that are untouchable in trade talks, and Carl's not one of them. I'm not saying that you're actively making calls right now, but if someone blows you away, offers you the moon, you listen. I'm not saying you accept, but you listen, and that starts right now. You're not accepting a trade right now, but you are always, 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 always listening to what other teams have to say. At least that's what good general managers and presidents of basketball operation do. You always have to have your ear to the phone.
Yeah. You always take calls.
So let's transition here, because I put out Mock Draft 2.0 today. Came out.
Oh, okay.
The Wolves did not make the lottery jump in this simulation. They stuck at 10th. Let me pull it up here because I did have an interesting top four, just the Wolves were not involved in this one. Unfortunately, if you're a Wolves fan, I suppose. But this one was more fun for me because they didn't jump. I got to be more creative. Atlanta won the top pick in Zion Williamson.
That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be so much fun. Chicago was number two. They took Ja Morant. Dallas was third with RJ Barrett. Mm. And Jarrett Culver went fourth to Phoenix. But I think Phoenix might trade out of that. If that's the case and Ja Morant's gone, Phoenix might want to trade out.
Yeah.
The Wolves ended up with the 10th pick, and they selected Brandon Clark from Gonzaga. Do you know much about Clark?
I know he's a good defender.
Yes.
He doesn't – he's not – I mean, he's kind of a four. He's not going to stretch the floor.
No, he's not a stretch. He's not a stretch guy. But what he is he's a very good passer. He's a good ball handler for his size. He's someone mm-hmm. that could – he's very switchable defensively. He would struggle against the likes of guys like Carl or Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. But against normal NBA centers, I think he'd be really good. I think that he'd be a perfect fit next to Carl, honestly. I think that he'd be terrific because everything that Carl struggles at, Brandon Clark is good at. He's long. He's good defensively. I think he'd be a good role guy in the pick and roll. I think he'd be great at running to the rim. I think that he'd be a great passer off the short roll, too. And I think that could really help to open up the Wolves offensively.
Okay.
So I had him going 10th. Do you want to do our single simulation for the day here?
Let's do it.
All right. We've got 22 days and 4 hours and 6 minutes until the draft lottery as we're recording this at 3:23 Central Time on Monday, April 22nd. My lottery sim is done. Chaos at the top, but it doesn't involve the Wolves. The Memphis Grizzlies with the top pick. New Orleans picks second. Dallas picking third. Chicago fourth. New York fifth. Cleveland sixth. Phoenix seventh. Atlanta eighth. Washington ninth. And then it resets with Minnesota 10th.
Okay. My internet on my phone and on my computer is not working right now.
I had to, I think the internet in this studio is down. I had to put my computer on my phone hotspot because I was trying to look up Malik Beasley, and it just was not working on Basketball Reference.
All right, let's try this here. Come on. Now I'm just using data on my phone.
Look at you, burning it up for the sake of the show.
Well, I get unlimited data, so I'm good.
You don't have to say that.
And here we go. Whoa, Washington. The Wizards win the lottery. Dallas number two, Phoenix three, Cleveland four. The Wolves are 10th.
Makes sense. I can't wait for draft lottery night. I'm so excited for it.
May 14th?
It is one of my favorite nights of the year. I wish I could go to the draft lottery. I really wish I could be, like, I want to be in the room.
Is it New York?
It might be Chicago. I think
Chicago?
It's changed a couple times.
Okay.
But I would love to go to the draft lottery. I think it'd be so cool.
Who do you think the Wolves are going to send to represent them? Okogie?
No. I think you have to send Carl. You have to send a number one pick.
Yeah.
If Derrick Rose were under contract, I would send Derrick Rose. But he'll be a free agent, especially because it is in Chicago. I would send Derrick Rose if he were still going to be under contract, but he's not. I think you have to send Carl. Like, you have to send your best guy and the number one pick to get all the juice you can.
Yeah.
Or I'll go. Send me. I'll go.
Send Danny Cunningham. That'd be cool.
I think the draft lottery would be great. It's May 14th in Chicago. ESPN has the results. It's always during the Western. Well, it's during whatever conference finals ESPN has. It's the Western Conference Finals this year. But mm-hmm. super excited for the draft lottery and the subsequent NBA draft to come later. But that'll do it for this week's edition of Show of Hands. Manny, thanks for joining me. Mm-hmm. Always a blast to be on here. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts. We can also be found at scorenorth.com. Make sure to follow Manny Hill on Twitter at MannyHill84 or myself on Twitter at RealDCunningham. We'll talk to you next time.